Now for the academic part of satsang. From Nisargadatta. It's going to be a test at the end of the month. It'll be an open book test. So you don't have to study. I don't want to make it too hard on you. Page 58 of Prior to Consciousness. Maharaj. You live in the house, but the house is not yourself. Similarly, the knowledge I am is in the body, but it is not the body. Questioner, I do not fully understand it. With the mind, you will never understand. You are not the mind, nor the words, nor the meaning of the words. I expound the knowledge of the self to the self, but you accept it as the knowledge of your body. You are not the mind, nor the words, nor the meaning of the words. You are not the mind. You are not the words, nor the meaning of the words. I expound the knowledge of the self to the self. He's not talking about the I am, the sense of presence. He's saying, I'm expounding the knowledge of the self to the self, but you accept it as the knowledge of your body. He's talking to the absolute, and we'll get to that in a second. He says, I am completely detached from the body and the consciousness which is within the body. Nevertheless, because of the disease, the unbearable suffering of the body is being experienced through consciousness. It is unbearable, but since I am detached from both the body and the consciousness, I am able to speak to you. It is something like that fan. He points to a fan. The breeze is there and the sound is there also. It is the same way in me. The vital breath is there and the sound is emanating. But all this happening is unbearable. The suffering has to be endured. In other words, he's comparing himself to a thing, a fan, with the breeze and the sound. And he says, yeah, I'm experiencing it. It's pretty unbearable, but it's not me. When the knowledge I am is not there, do you perceive or observe anything? Knowingness is knowledge, and no knowingness is also knowledge, but it has no form. If you equate it with the body, only then you say that you are a male or female. In the absence of knowledge, the question of I know or I do not know does not arise. When you understand what I have said about knowledge, you will fully identify with that. That's very difficult to understand. This is a central passage in Advaita, in Nisargadatta's Advaita. When the knowledge I am is not there, do you perceive or observe anything? Without the I am, is there anything whatsoever? Knowingness is knowledge, and no knowingness is also knowledge. But it has no form. That is, neither knowingness has form, and it's knowledge, or not knowingness. Neither knowledge has no form. If you equate it with the body, only then does it have properties of being male or female. Now we're going to go a step further in his next quote. October 2, 1980, page 59. The questioner says, and this is going to become a little complicated because Nisargadatta is, in this passage, apparently identifying the ego with the I am, which is not typically what he does. But the transformation might be poor or something else, but listen to this. The questioner, I want to give up this ego, but I don't know how. Maharaj, this is important now. What is the measurement and color of this ego that you want to give up? What have you understood about this ego? In other words, what form does this ego have that you're trying to give up? What does it look like? Does this concept have any existence whatsoever? Joan, put that book down. Pay attention. Questioner, it's a false conviction of the mind. The guy, Maharaj, asks, what have you understood about the ego? The questioner says, it's a false conviction of the mind. Now Maharaj goes from the ego, and he says, what's the form of this ego that you're talking about, that you want to get rid of? Maharaj then says, it is a pinch in my fingers, this I am-ness. But all the scriptures, the 16 shastras, the 18 puranas, and the 4 Vedas have been screaming and shouting, trying to describe this Brahman. He's now equating the I am-ness with God or Brahman. And before he was talking about the ego. So we got to be careful here. All those praises are only for this tiny pinch of I am. The moment you start making a design of that I am-ness, you are getting into deep waters. This incense holder is silver, and you have knowledge that it is silver. Listen to this carefully. What is the shape, color, or design of that knowledge? This incense holder is silver, and you have knowledge that it is silver. But what is the shape, color, or design of the knowledge of the color of this of the incense holder? Does it have form? Or is it formless? Where does it reside, this knowledge? If all knowledge is formless, could there be a form, design, or color to the knowledge I am? And maybe now he's talking about the ego. If all knowledge is formless, could there be a form, design, or color to the knowledge I am? Could it be subject to sin or merit? In other words, I know that I am. That is my knowledge. I exist. But what's the nature of this knowledge that I am? Does it have form? Can it be perceived? Can you witness the knowledge at all? And what is the relationship between the knowledge I am and my existence? I exist, I know that, in this manifest world. I know I exist. But what about this knowledge that I exist? What is its nature? Does it have any form? Does it have any substance? What's its reality? And then he says, in this timeless ether, the touch of I am-ness is not there. He's saying in the great void, when that touch of I am-ness comes, the void does not perceive it. It does not touch the void. It's manifest in the great void, not the one we perceive, but the one we are. Is beyond any form. It's purely knowledge. Questioner, is it not true that out of compassion for the ignorant, the Yani expounds knowledge? Maharaj, you can say whatever you like. There's no such thing as compassion in that state. I have elevated you to that state where you should know that you are the very illuminant of everything. And the love to be is also therein. When I lead you there, why do you ask me such questions? How do you know anything? Here we're getting into the crux again. How do you know anything? The questioner says, through the mind. No. The knowingness recognizes the mind. The mind cannot recognize consciousness. You are overpowered by sleep. You wake up. Who recognizes this awakening? Prior to mind, the knowingness principle is there. Prior to mind, the knowingness principle is there. Prior to knowingness, there is the priormost principle, which knows consciousness. So we have knowingness. I know I exist. It's an essential part of the I am-ness. But where is that knowingness residing? The knowingness itself has no form. But this is jnana. Jnana is knowing. That's what jnana means, knowing. And prior to this knowledge is that principle that knows, which is not part of the I am or part of the manifest universe. He calls it the absolute, the Parabrahman, the basic ability to know. So we have the basic ability, the witness, whatever we want to call it, the knowingness, or the knower, you might say. And then knowingness, which is the knowledge that we exist. And then we have the manifestation, which is the I am-ness and all of consciousness. This is the most subtle point that you'll ever run across in Nisargadatta, and eventually you have to get it. In the final analysis, out of the absence of knowledge, knowledge was born, and knowledge delivered the world and all sentient beings and all things. In the final analysis, out of the absence of knowledge, out of that ether he talked about, out of the void, knowledge was born, and knowledge delivered the world, gave us this world, all beings and all things. Consciousness is suffused with knowledge. Satchitananda, existence, knowledge, bliss. Existence without knowledge is not existence. The one who enters spirituality is like a cold water which is put on the fire. When you put it on the fire, the bubbles start rising, and in due course it starts boiling. That boiling stage is something like the sadaka entering the highest class of spirituality. At the boiling point, he likes to talk a lot, put a lot of questions. When the fire is applied continuously, the boiling stops and simmering takes place. That is a stage where one acquires knowledge in spirituality. After listening to these talks, will you be able to go into quietude? I have my doubts about that, because you still like to please your pampered mind. If you really understood what I say, does it matter if you please your mind or not? I have told you that presently, oh, you are like the warmth in the body. He was saying, presently I have been telling you that you are the I am, the warmth, like the warmth in the body. But then he says, what is Parabrahman like? That is the absolute. But what is the Parabrahman like? I told you you are the I am, but what is the Parabrahman like? The Parabrahman does not experience this warmth of I am-ness at all. If you understood, this puzzle will be solved for you. In other words, in the emptiness, in the void. There's just the principle of residing there, of the ability to know. And then the knowledge comes, I am. It's born. You wake up and the world appears spontaneously out of nothingness. Just like the Big Bang Theory talks about the universe coming out of nothing. Each day you are born anew. This knowingness comes. You were not knowing. You were dead asleep. Then the knowingness comes from nowhere. And suddenly the world is born. But that principle that's able to perceive knowingness, it must always be there. Because it witnesses the coming and going of knowing and of the world and of us. After understanding this, if one becomes a jnani, that consciousness principle and body is available, and they will be involved in the emotional field also. It will give full vent to crying, and it will also enjoy whatever situation is there. Such a jnani is not going to suppress any expressions of emotions which spontaneously come out of this consciousness and body apparatus. Such a jnani is not going to suppress or suppress any expressions of emotions which spontaneously come out of this consciousness and body apparatus. You, the Parabrahman, associate yourself with Joan, the body-mind, with Matthew, the body-mind, with John, the body-mind, and Tina, the body-mind. But that's not you. It's a spontaneous arising in emptiness that has nothing to do with you as the Absolute. But the Absolute is not going to repress any of the emotionality and spontaneity that arises out of the I Amness and out of your body-mind apparatus. Normally, people suppose that a jnani should suppress all emotional outbursts. This is not correct. With your standpoint in the Absolute, you are not concerned with the feelings and instinctive outbursts of the apparatus. A jnani does not volitionally participate. It is spontaneously happening. While an ignorant person is deeply involved in that, he assumes everything is real. For the jnani, the warmth, the I am, is also unreal. So whatever happens in the realm of warmth is unreal. All devotion, all liking and love is dissolved for jnani. But whatever he does is for others. Now this has been really tough. This is the crux of Nisargadatta. Read those two chapters over and over again. Maybe read them onto an MP3 player so you can hear it read over and over and over and over again. I hope to come to some other places where it's as clearly stated. And we'll just go into it again and again and again and again until you get it. I know it's hard to get.